cattle production in Arkansas is a major part of the agricultural industry. Excuse me. In 2008, Arkansas was reported to have over 2.7 million head of cattle. And when each cattle produces roughly 10 dung pats per day, and each dung pat covers about 0.8 square meters of pasture surface, this leads to over 27 million dung pats per day, covering over 2,200 square kilometers of pasture surface per day. So this is problematic because dung pats that remain on the pasture surface smother the vegetation underneath the paddy, and also the area around the defecation is typically avoided by cattle as a means to reduce contracting nematodes. So ultimately, as the dung pat remains on the pasture surface, you're going to be reducing your carrying capacity per unit of that pasture. Now, dung beetles, whether related to feeding or reproducing, shred and fragment the dung pat and alleviate the smothering effect. This also contributes to an increased rate in decomposition of the dung pat, and benefits brought on by that would be reduced populations of pestiferous flies in addition to gastrointestinal nematodes. Now, when we take a look at this picture here, we see that some of these dung beetles are actively bringing the manure down into the soil, acting as a fertilizer, in addition to creating these tunnels, which help aerate the soil, and this is going to increase the water holding capacity of the soil. Now, this picture right here, you can see this is one of high dung beetle activity, and you're going to have a real high surface to volume ratio. It's going to be flattened out, whereas this one, there's not so much dung beetle activity, and it's still more or less intact. Now, recently in Arkansas, Kvorek studied the dung beetles associated with pocket gopher burrows. But aside from that, there has not been any detailed survey of dung beetles in Arkansas. One species, Ontophagus taurus, that we see right here, rather neat looking, was introduced in northwest Arkansas in 1978, but its status is uncertain in that it has not been reported since. Now, the location of this study was done on Crowley's Ridge. Now, Crowley's Ridge is one of six physiographic regions in Arkansas. Right here it's removed from the picture here, but you can see right here where it's at actually. Now the formation of Crowley's Ridge is really interesting in that it's an erosional remnant from a higher plain from which the present Mississippi Delta was carved out of when the Mississippi meandered to the west and the Ohio to the east. So traditionally, this is a really cool area to be looking at dung beetle diversity, in that the Mississippi is usually used for crop agriculture, whereas in the interior highlands and on Crowley's Ridge, it's going to be more pastures. So Crowley's Ridge pastures are somewhat disjunct from the mainland populations of dung beetles and pastures on those, or the dung beetles on those pastures in the mainland. There's not been a single reporting of a dung beetle on Crowley's Ridge. So the purpose of the study is to identify an assemblage of pasture inhabiting dung beetles and examine their seasonal activity. Now this study occurred for 18 months. The study site was two adjacent pastures separated by a fence row. On the pastures there was tall fescue and Bermuda grass as the main forage species. And for the first 14 months of the study there are 11 calves and 23 adults of an Aberdeen breed. And then halfway through this, or with 4 months left in the study, the herd size was reduced to 18 adults. During periods of reduced forage growth, the cattle were supplemented with corn, premix, and soybean. And then in May 2007, pesticide ear tags were used. And then in May through August of 2008, a methoprene feed additive was used. The temperature and precipitation were also recorded. So we used 10 dung-baited pitfall traps to collect these beetles. A bait consisted of an ice cream scoop of manure wrapped in cheesecloth. Baiting occurred for a 1 week period, and then after that 1 week, the collection of beetles, we would collect the beetles and then we would rebait. So this happened throughout the whole study. So there's baiting going on throughout the 18-month period. On some occasions, we had to do a subsampling technique because these beetles, we had so many of them. And what we did was we took a dry weight of a portion of the sample and then extrapolated upon that. And then we used a variety of keys in addition to the help of Dr. Paul Skelly for some identification. And if you just look here, I mean, this is incredible. I started to count these and I couldn't do it. I had to use the subsampling technique because we had so many. And as you'll see in a second, these numbers were just incredible. All right, so here's the study site. What we have is the yellow line representing the fence row separating the two pastures, and then we had the 10 baited pitfall traps staggered along the fence row. Also, there was a little less than a hectare of wooded timber on each pasture, in addition to maybe four or five additional shade trees located throughout the pasture. All right, so we found 29 species of dung beetles that represented over 236,000 individuals. The species listed here in red are those that are introduced, so we had six species introduced, and then we did find Ontophagus taurus, that species that was introduced back in 1978. Now, when we look at the composition, we see that 98% of the composition was one species, Liberis pseudolevitis, and that's what this species is right here in the corner. So this has not been previously reported, where there's only one dung beetle that dominates the assemblage. Now, there's a significant difference using an ANOVA. Well, we determined that there is a significant difference in the number of trapped beetles between years, with more being collected in 2007. And then when we look at between months, we also note that the community was significantly larger in 2007 in June, July, and August. And then when we look down at Liberis pseudolevitis, the figure doesn't look too much different, and that's reflecting its dominance within the assemblage. Now here's the seasonal activity of Liberis pseudolevitis. It had a bimodal distribution, and very, very interesting here. In the first peak in 2008, or in 2007, I'm sorry, there were 45,000 individuals. And then throughout June, July, and August of 2007, we collected over 211,000 Liberis pseudolevitis. Now these abundances are difficult to interpret in that it has not been previously recorded using baited pitfall traps numbers this high of this species. Also, baited pitfall traps are not always indicative to the actual number of individuals per pet. So it actually could be that these numbers aren't that uncommon, and that several studies report what are called mass occurrences. And these mass occurrences take place in the dung pet. So here we see four reported mass occurrences. I believe there's eight mass occurrences that have been reported total, and typically they're reported, the other four are reported in a qualitative manner, that the dung pet has this quivering appearance to it. But these are the ones that actually had some quantitative data. And we see that several hundred to several thousand individuals can be found within one pet. There's absolutely no research on mass occurrences. The only thing that is known, and this is speculative, but all of these species are larval saprophages, either obligate or facultative. So a hypothesis would be that saprophagic resources could have been and more abundant in 2007 than 2008, but that's just a hypothesis. Now when we look at the rest of the composition, excluding Liberis pseudolevitis, we see that there are seven species that encompass a dominant position within the composition. So we're going to take a look at how they responded between years. And what we see is that there are five species that had significantly larger abundances in 2007, with two of them, Ontophagus hecatei and Atanius platensis, having significantly larger abundances in 2007, whereas there are two species that were more abundant in 2008, and one of those species, Ontophagus gazella, being significantly larger in 2008. What this we take this to mean is that the system is rather complex, and that although these all have coprophagous tendencies, they're not responding similarly between years. So without having more data, it's very difficult to implicate any factor that led to the disparity between years. Namely, it would be interesting to see the developmental conditions of these larvae during this time, but we don't have that type of data. Precipitation, now this is very interesting too, because typically it's reported that lower rainfall is going to increase the rate of desiccation by the larvae, whereas in 2007 we had less rainfall, but we had huge numbers. In 2008 we had more rainfall. Now, throughout the study there were only four occasions where we did not collect any dung beetles at all. And when we look at this these temperature data, we see during the winter that the temperatures were highly erratic, and at one point one day it was 0 degrees as the high, and then 3 days later it was 20 degrees as the high. So we tend to think that one reason that we collected beetles with such consistency is that throughout the winter months there was warm temperatures that they were responding to. But we don't know that for certain, because lots of dung beetles, as I found out at this meeting, are very active in cool temperatures, which is a little bit surprising. Now, we reported 21 state records And this is only in one physiographic region in Arkansas. So it's likely that as we do future research in a more detailed manner in these other physiographic regions, this list of coprophagic species within Arkansas is likely to increase. And that is it. Any questions? Thank you.
We have time for questions.
Yes.
Are dung beetles known to communicate much with pheromones?
That's a great question. There's not a lot of literature on that. There's one species in Africa that I'm familiar with that has been looked into with rather good detail that responds to pheromones between species within a species. But aside from these, those in North America, I'm not familiar with any report of that. But we're working on future research to tease that out using an olfactometer.
Thank you.
Thank you.